It's not as easy as Curtis looks with the mask on. If you would, let's please all start turning to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll start our reading there this evening. A father had a family of sons. Unfortunately, they weren't very nice to each other. There was constant quarreling and bickering. I know what you're thinking. No, this is not a story about my sons. So, no matter what this father said to his sons, it didn't do any good. As a result, he thought long and hard about what he could say. He wanted to provide them some type of lesson that would help them realize the impact that their constant quarreling would ultimately have. One day, the quarreling became more aggressive. He had to step in and break it up and sent each son to a different corner of the yard. It was at that point that this wise father came up with a lesson. He sent one of the sons to bring a bundle of sticks. He tied the bundle of sticks together and asked each son to take turns in trying to break them. Each of them tried as hard as they could, but couldn't come close to snapping the bundle. The father then untied the bundle and gave each son one stick and asked them to break it. They each did this easily. He then said, "Boys, do you not see how if you help each other and work with each other, it will be impossible for your enemies to injure you and you will be so much stronger? But if you continue to be divided amongst yourselves, you won't be any stronger than a single stick in that bundle." We want to welcome each and all of you here this evening, or any of those who might be listening live. We also want to welcome our visitors, your honored guest. And if you are willing and able, please stay after service so we can get to meet you. I also want to thank the elders for the opportunity to bring this lesson this evening in Curtis's absence. It's an honor. I want to thank Tyler for his leadership in song, for Kaysen and his leadership in the opening prayer, and for Cole and his leadership in the Lord's Supper. I think it's very easy for us to take for granted the capable but also willing men that we have in this congregation to lead our services. We can all relate to this story of unity. Whether it was our brothers and sisters as we were growing up or our friends. For me personally, I played a lot of sports growing up, whether it was baseball, basketball, football. And I can remember, and no matter what sport that I played in, every one of those coaches preached unity within the team. In one of our locker rooms, as we went out, above the door, there was a sign that read, "There is no strength without unity." I've got 3 points I'd like to make this evening in regards to unity, and then the lesson will be yours. My first point is, for us to promote unity, or to have unity, how are we to walk? So before we can answer this question, let's first define what unity is. Unity, in Merriam-Webster, is defined as the state of being united or joined as a whole. So for us to be in unity, we all must be moving in one unified direction. Let's take a look at the text, Ephesians 4, that I had you turn to earlier. We're going to read the first two verses, Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble, gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love." Paul is begging in the first verse here for us to lead a life worthy of our calling. A very common format for Paul is to start his books off in giving the doctrinal issues at the very beginning, and then later in the book to give application to our lives of those doctrines. Well, that's what he's done here in Ephesians. In the first three chapters, he's given the doctrinal issues. And then in chapter 4, he begins to give the application to life built on that doctrine that he's given. It says, we have been called by God, not by man, but by God. So let's look at how he wants us to do it. In verse 2, he says, be humble. Always be humble. Some versions say humility or lowliness. So to be humble, I think we're very common with that, or we're very familiar with that term. But it's a modest or low view of one's own importance. That's how we look at ourselves. In Matthew 11 and verse 29, it says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There's rest in knowing that the Lord will take care of us. Just like the father explained to the boys in the story in the beginning, they're much stronger when they're united. Jesus also shows us here that if we are united with him, we can find rest and peace. My coaches always used to say when I was playing, hey, there's no I in team. I know what some of you are thinking. Michael Jordan, his famous phrase was, well, there may not be one I in team, but there sure is one in win. Well, that's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul's talking about being humble, right? That's what he's trying to get across in this passage. He also talks about being gentle. Some versions may talk about, say, gentleness or meekness. This just describes a state of being submissive. Also showing that we are always subject to the will of God. And he talks about being patient. Some versions may say long-suffering. Definition of patient says the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering, and the key point, without getting angry or upset. I'm not sure about you all, but I have a short tolerance for slow driving. My wife does not like driving with me in the car. You can ask her. If I had a dollar for every time she raised her hand or hit the front dash while I was driving the vehicle, I'd probably be a millionaire. Some of you might be laughing about that, but it's true. But I am always, first of all, I'm always late, so it usually just makes me in a hurry. So that's just my problem. We were driving a couple months back, and Brooks, my second son, he said, Papa, why when you drive, does the number always start with 8 and the sign has a 7? I jumped out of that conversation very quickly. The Bible gives us several examples of patience and what it can do for us. Let's all turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. It reads there, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. So we know through our experiences and through life, we become more patient with different things that we encounter. In Galatians 5 and verse 22, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You see there by having the Holy Spirit, we see these kinds of fruits, patience being one of them. 2 Peter 1 and verse 6 reads, "And knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patience," or patient endurance, "and patient endurance with godliness." These things go together. These are basic principles for us to take note of. Then it also says in the end of verse 2, "making allowance for each other's faults because of your love." We have to understand that we are not perfect. And we're going to make mistakes, each and every one of us. But because of our love for one another and willingness to want to be unified, we accept those faults and help each other through that. Let's remember what Romans 14 teaches. That we accept people with differences, and it's not our part to pass judgment on anyone. That's not for us to do. Second point I'd like to make is, knowing how we can walk, how can we have unity then? Like the Father portrays in the story at the beginning of the lesson, when the sticks are all bundled together, they're much stronger. We've heard the saying, "United we stand and divided we fall." There's a lot of truth to that. We could go down a list of different phrases and innuendos that mimic this. Just like whenever I was playing football, we would practice day in and day out the different plays over and over and over again to try to get everyone on the same page to make sure when we got out there on game day that we were all running in the right direction, doing the same thing. The Word of God is our playbook. We must do the same thing as Christians, and it takes effort. Let's turn back to the text, Ephesians 4. Back to Ephesians 4, and we're going to read verses 3 through 7. Ephesians 4, 3 through 7 reads, "Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ." Paul gives us the definition of the divine unity right here in this verse, or in these verses. He tells us there's one body, there's one Spirit, there's one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. There's one way. For us to be in unity, we all have to agree on what the Word of God tells us and agree that these are the basic principles of unity in itself. I remember my first football game my junior year of high school like it was yesterday. We'd worked so hard all summer long. Early morning workouts, later in the afternoon, running routes, trying to make sure that all of our timing was good. And all the excitement that goes into the anticipation of that first game. We get the ball first. Coach calls a play that we are all familiar with, just a very easy play, get us in the groove. At wide receiver runs a slant, tight end runs an out. You read the linebacker, whatever the linebacker does, you throw it to the other one. Should be a home run right off the bat to start the game. I get under center, I look at the linebacker's played in. This is easy, I'm throwing the out route. First play of the game, three-step drop, hit the back foot, let it rip to the out route. Little did I know, the whole time the safety was coming down, he picks it off, takes it for six. First play of the game. I'll never forget it. Should have been easy peasy. I remember, like it was yesterday, the sheer disappointment of walking off that field after that first throw. But I also remember what happened within the next 5 minutes, that every one of my teammates came right beside me, patted me on the helmet, and said, "It's all right, we got him on the next drive." And we went out and won that game by 30 points. Ephesians 4 and 3 tells us we have to make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. It's our duty as Christians to pick each other up when we fail, and we all do from time to time. My third and final point, is we as Christians have to consider what has been delivered to us for the purpose of unity. God set so many things in place for us to benefit from and to bring us into unity. But we do a really good job of ignoring those things. Let's look back at the text in Ephesians 4. We're going to read verse 8, and then we'll skip over and read 11 through 14. 4 and verse 8, and then 11 through 14. That is why the scriptures say, "When he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people." Then in verse 11, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth." When my running backs coach, whenever I was at Baylor, used to love to quote 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11 when any of the players weren't doing what they should be doing. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, "When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things." He was quick to quote that to the guys to say, "Hey, it's time to turn it around." We have to be mature Christians and put away any childish behaviors towards each other or even with ourselves. Verse 11 through 13 tells us God gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. This is all for our benefit and to help promote a level of unity needed in the church. A little while back, Caleb White and I led a junior high class, and the title of the book was The Evidences for God and His Creation. And one of the overarching themes in that book that kept coming around over and over again was, think about what the Word of God has made it through up to this point. Think of all the books that were written that we have no idea about, talking about just regular books. And then also think about all the different people whose sole purpose was to try to make sure that the Bible didn't make it. But here we are today, through all of these things, and we have the Bible here with us. We even have it on our phones. And it's just as relevant today as it was when it was written. Now let's read the last two verses here in verse 15 and 16. Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 16. "Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." Let's notice that he uses the word love here twice in those two verses. Titled Let Us in a Song and the Wonderful Story of Love. We are to be full of love in our dealings because that is the way Christ lived his life and the example that he left for us. Knowing that all of these things that we've talked about have been given to us for us to be unified in the Word of God. In conclusion, just like the story of the sticks in the beginning of this lesson, we all must be bound in the Word of God. We're much stronger together. This is the purpose of the church and God's intent given to us by His Word. In 2 John 1 and verse 9, 2 John 1 and verse 9, it reads, "Anyone who wanders away from his teaching, from this teaching, has no relationship with God. But anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son." Each of us must abide in the teaching for us all to have true unity. Then 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7. 1 John 1, 6 and 7, it tells us, "So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." We all need to be walking in the light and not in the darkness to promote the unity required of us by God. One of my coaches always said, whenever you reflect on yourself, make sure that you are part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Let's make sure we are like that bundle of sticks in the story, bound together and all working in one accord. I truly appreciate everybody's attention this evening. At the end of each lesson, we take this time to extend an invitation to those who might not have yet accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior and been buried with Him in baptism. To have unity in the Word, we must, in fact, follow it. And the Bible teaches us that to be saved, we must first hear the Word, believe it, turn away from our evil ways, confessing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and then be buried with Him in baptism, rising up a new person. We also know how easy it is to fall away. We talked about that a little bit. Each one of us has our own individual struggles that we deal with. And if you've fallen away and need the prayers and the help of the church, that unity we've been discussing promotes us to be here for each other to love and care for one another. If there's anyone who might have a need, I encourage you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.